Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It is Wendy from Love, Light, and Passion. Thanks for joining us again this week. It's been really great to be going back on a roll of our shows and getting things back in order. We've had some really phenomenal guests within the last few weeks, and we're continuing with that today. Today, I'm really super excited, as always, for my guests. We're going to have Lorena Seidel come on. She's on with me, and she is the founder of The Purposeful Child. She is a social-emotional consultant, a certified Montessori teacher, and a trained positive discipline educator. So she's worked with thousands of adults to build a more positive, peaceful, and purposeful relationship with children, and her goal is to offer parenting and disciplining that works while also honoring the child. So I'm really excited. Welcome, Lorena.
Hi. Thank you for having me. This is so great.
Yeah. And well, the cool thing about this is a lot of people know that I'm obviously very involved online in different communities, and I always like to say how I met somebody or through, you know, how networking works and how we meet people. And Lorena and I met because we are part of a group through Rachel Cook, an online group that we go through, and on Facebook. And she had you had answered some questions for me about social media, and we got to talking, and I was really excited about what you do, because you are a full-time mom running a business, and you're very, very passionate about education and children, and you kind of have that typical, then you're kind of doing it all without giving up your family and helping other parents not only do well raising their children, but do it in a loving and peaceful way that helps and supports them and the children they're raising. So just to kind of catch the audience up, how did you get started in this? Was it mommyhood that did it? Was it all of a sudden was... Did you always want to be in education?
Well, it was accidental and also pretty purposeful at the same time, because I did already had that passion, and I had been, studying education. I had an undergrad in education and a graduate degree in education. I had been a nanny through college, and I was a Montessori teacher for years. So I felt like my life was always around education and children. But then the whole piece of actually educating parents was a little bit of the accidental and purpose at the same time, because my master thesis had been a six-week program for parents and educators on social-emotional learning and positive discipline. But I did all that before I was actually a mom. So when I became a mom, I realized how hard parenting really was. I felt like I was really overly confident getting into motherhood. I felt like it was going to be a breeze. I had all this training, I had the experience, I would be amazing. And then reality hit me hard, and I realized that parenting was so hard. And then I actually went back to my research with a new eye, of course, and then I was a lot more humble about it. And I dove deeper into all of the books and the approaches that I had been researching. But then I decided to look at it and tweak everything to make it work for parents, because it's so easy for us, for moms, to see ourselves as just someone who is feeding the children and keeping them clean and entertaining them and keeping them safe and driving them from here to there. But it's different if we can see ourselves as an educator, because it's commonsensical. A lot of people talk about, oh, we are our parents' first teacher, and our homes are, our children's first learning environment. And it seems cheesy to say it, but it is common sense, but it's so true. We are their first teachers, and our homes are their first learning environment. So if we can switch our mindsets to see ourselves as educators instead of just the childcare person who is keeping them safe and fed and clean, then we can approach parenting in a more strategic way and we can be more effective. So I decided to tweak everything that I had learned and make it work for moms, because I felt like if I was struggling, you know, all of us would be able to benefit from this. So that's kind of how it started. And then it's been, you know, 5 years that I've been working with the moms mostly. I still work with schools, but now most of my work is with moms.
And
that was the story.
So, and let me ask you, just out of curiosity, and we'll go into some other things, but when you're working with parents and you're taking this education, is there a common theme that you hear from most parents? Because I think at least I know for me, so I work, and I work from home, which is wonderful for my son, and then yet I still have that mom guilt, like I'm not working enough, I'm not with my child enough, you know, and now he's in sixth grade, or I didn't, you know, volunteer enough, or I didn't, you know, is there a theme, or is it more of an education thing, you know, am I spending enough time, am I sending him to the right school, you know, all those things that parents, or at least I know for me, that I wonder to make sure that he's getting a great foundation in life. And so is there a common theme that parents have that you see are kind of number one things?
Yes, I feel like moms were just so filled with guilt over everything. If we work, we feel guilty that we're not with them and we're missing out. If we are with them, we feel badly that we don't really have something for ourselves and we're not contributing. If we are, you know, it's just that we're guilt. If we take time for self-care, we feel badly. There's just so much guilt around. So yes, this is a great point that you make. Guilt is one of the biggest things. But one of the biggest things that mom come is the guilt around the way that they handle their parenting. So it's that feeling at the end of the day that they didn't do a good job, that they were not a good mom, that they yelled and they shamed or they blamed or they threatened and they just felt terrible, that they were not able to handle the everyday, the little things, those tantrums and power struggles, the back talking, all of that we have to face every day, that they were not able to handle that in a better way, that they lost their cool. So there's a lot of guilt around that. And also this, you know, this desire that parents have to have this great relationship with their children, and they feel like it's so stressful, it's so busy, they're trying to balance so many things, work and, you know, if they work, they have to balance work and the house and the kids. And they feel like it's taking away the joy or the fun of parenting, because there's just so much in their plate and they feel so overwhelmed. So that's usually the two biggest things that parents come to me is this, you know, they want to find a new way to handle everyday challenges that would be more peaceful. They want to foster this positive relationship children for life. And they want to find tools and strategies that will help them with that, so they can balance everything and feel good about themselves, feel proud of the way that they are parenting, and also know that their children are feeling good too, and that they are growing up to be, you know, wholesome, just all the things that we want for our children in the future.
So was my next question, because along with, you know, it's fantastic if you realize this when they're young and you kind of get that,
mm-hmm.
but is there like a time in their parent, you know, do you have parents at all different ages, or is it that go like, oh my gosh, I need to implement different ways, it's not working? Is it because they're coming into teenage years and they're going, oh my gosh, what did I, you know what I mean, have I done? Or is it you know, they hit the terrible twos and they're like, oh no, there's got to be a better way to deal. You know, is there an age range?
Yes, that's more it. it's usually parents of toddlers and preschoolers that are, you know, just, it's so hard to have that, you know, you're starting to have a relationship with a child by then, but you are getting hit with all the, you know, the setbacks and the power struggles, the back talking, the tantrums, all of that. So it's usually parents from toddlers to teens. And then there's some years in between the toddler years and the teen years where you have some peace. And then it hits them again in the teenage years or the preteen years. So I work with parents of all ages, but I do now focus a little bit more on parents of younger children because that's where I am in my parenting journey. So I have the training and the theory to help parents of all ages, but I do prefer to talk to parents that are, you know, with, have children from like, you know, toddlers to 7, 8, and because that's where I am. So, but yeah, no, it's parents of all ages. Because this is a relationship for life. So I always explain to parents that if we find a way to work things out in a peaceful way, if we can talk and solve problems as a family, if we can do that in a way that feels good for us right now, then we're setting ourselves up to be able to do that through the teen years and through adulthood. Because what the way that I explain to moms is that when they're little, we can make them do things. We have the power, right? If we want to make them do something, we can. But when they're teenagers, we won't be able to, you know, to actually force them to do certain things. So it's so much easier if we can find a way to win their cooperation, to get them to listen to us, not to force them into doing things. We want the goal, I always say, is to have children who do the right thing when no one is watching, when not because they're afraid of punishments, not because they are going to get praised or get a reward or there's a, you know, there's something to be gained from it, but just because it's the right thing. So if we can remove all those things when they're young, if we can find a way to work with them and communicate with them without having to punish them, without having to force them, without having to bribe them or reward them or do any of those things to manipulate their behavior, then later on we have a much easier time for, you know, the preteens and teens and for life with them. But yes, so to answer the question, it is parents of all ages.
So, and here's my, because you have this something about a parenting strategy. Now, I gotta, it makes me kind of laugh because I think of like marketing strategies, like strategically aligning yourself in a way that the marketplace would like to see you and know you and be in a niche. And so, is you know, like I think like that when I see strategy. So, as far as a parenting strategy, so in my envision, I'm like, okay, aligning yourself somewhere so that your target market, which are your children, are going to actually want and listen to the message that you have and that it's going to, like, work, that you found your perfect target right there. So, you know, what is that parenting strategy? Is it different for all families because every child is different and every family is different, you know, because I talk always about customizing like your marketing to your right target instead of, you know, so, or is there a basis of certain things for every family and then you build on that?
So here's the thing, the scoop. So we have plans, right, and a strategy for everything, for work, we plan a vacation, we plan even a simple dinner party, we have a strategy, a plan, but when we come to parenting, we have no plan, and we're just flying by the seat of our pants, we are doing our best, we're going with the flow, but we really don't have a plan. So the idea is to create this plan that to work for you, for your needs, for what you do, and it has to work for your children and your children's needs. So it's really aligning your desires, what you want for your children, for your family, with what you do every day. So it is similar to, you know, the marketing strategy. This is when I usually talk to parents about having this big why. So I usually ask parents, why do you want to be a better parent? Why do you want to, you know, to work on yourself? Why do you want to have, you know, better strategies or tools to handling your children? And usually the little whys are something like, oh, we want to get them to listen, or we want to stop the tantrums. We want to have them respect us. We want to you know, just all of those things. We want to get them to do their homework, whatever it is. Those are the little things. We want our home to feel like it's, you know, working well. It's a well-oiled machine. So those are little whys. But I always say, okay, past that, let's get to a bigger why. Like, why do we want to be good parents? And then when they think about it, usually most parents arrived at the fact that they want to have a lifelong relationship with their children. They basically want their children to want to come home for Thanksgiving and for Christmas because they want and they enjoy their family and they head along with their siblings, and not because it's just an obligation, right? We all want this lifelong, good, healthy, positive relationship with our children. And we want to have a peaceful home environment right now. Through this whole journey and all those years of parenting, we want it to be enjoyable for everyone. So that's usually the big why for most people. But mm-hmm. I talk about if you have this big why, then you can start to look at everything that you do. And then you can ask yourself, what I'm doing right now, is this bringing me closer to this big idea that I have? Is this helping me connect with my child? Is this helping me have this beautiful relationship with them? Is this helping me have this peaceful home environment? So as an example, I usually tell the story, the bunny story. So my four-year-old, she wanted to have a pet, and we end up getting a bunny, and we named the bunny Coconut, and everybody was happy. And a few days after we got the bunny, I walked into the room, and she was shaking this bunny by the hind legs up and down. So the bunny was upside down, and she was shaking it by the hind legs. And I just got so angry. I was just so mad at her. And then in a matter of 20 seconds, I did all the wrong things. I started with the shaming and the blaming. So I said, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And then I did the threatening. Do we need to give this bunny to another family with nice little girls? And then I did the timeout. I said, you know what? Just go to your room because I can't even look at you right now. So in 20 seconds, I did the shaming, the blaming, the threatening, right? And then I sent her away. And then, of course, I felt terrible because that's not the mom that I want to be, right? And I felt like that was not bringing me close to my goal, right? Was that connecting me with her? Was it bringing, you know, a positive relationship? Was it creating a peaceful home environment? No. So then I took a moment and I waited for a little bit and I calmed myself down and I decided that I wanted to approach that again. So I went to talk to her and then I got down to her level. I looked at her in the eye and I remember that I had done something mean to some kittens when I was a little girl. So I was, you know, in those minutes that I was trying to calm myself down, I was thinking, how can I connect with her? How can I, you know, understand what she was doing? And then I remember that I had done something mean to some kittens. So I told that to her and I said, you know, Pollyanna, I have done something mean to some kittens once, and I felt badly about it. And the second that I did that I got down to her level, I looked at her in the eye, and I shared that with her, I could see a spark in her eye. I could see the way lifting off her shoulders. And then she said, oh, Mom, did you see I'm not bad? And that second we connected. And then I realized that I had just given her this bunny a few days ago, and so far she had only had stuffed animals that she could, you know, throw up and down or bounce about, and that I didn't really take time to practice with her, you know, what I expected of her for that bunny. So then we took some time to together brainstorm some alternatives. So what can we do with this bunny? And then together we came up with, you know, you can help me clean the cage, you can hold the bunny on your lap, you can take the bunny outside to exercise, you can help me feed the bunny. So we talked about what she could do, but we problem solved together. And then I apologized for the way that I had talked to her, right? So when you do, you have a strategy, when you have a way to approach that aligns with what you want for your family, then you can be more effective. So if you think about all the things that we want our children to be in the future, right? We all want our children to be resilient and problem solvers and thinkers and have empathy and be responsible, independent, all that. So let's think of the first thing that I did when she did that with the bunny, and I shamed and blamed and threatened, and then I sent her away. If you think about what she could be learning from that, you know, those are skills for the future, she's really not learning any of it. She's not learning, none of the, to be a problem solver, to be a thinker, to be creative, to be resilient, to be empathetic, nothing of that. And the way that I reacted also is not teaching her anything. I'm not role modeling being respectful or being kind or, you know, any of that in the way that I reacted. But then the second time around, if you look at how I, you know, handle it the second time, connecting with her, sharing a story, showing empathy, and then asking her questions and problem solving together. So now she is learning to problem solve, to be creative, to be a thinker, and I'm role modeling empathy, respect, and all that. So we have better chances of getting, being more effective and having long-term results when we have an approach that is non-punitive, also non-permissive. But it's when you ask about the strategy, is really aligning what you do, the way that you react, the way that you interact with them and handle issues, with your bigger goals, what you want for them and what you want for your family, and then using strategies that are communication strategies, discipline strategies, and strategies for, you know, staying kind and firm, so you're not being permissive, you're not being authoritarian. So you want to find, and then it's all the discipline strategies that you would use. So that's the strategy for the parenting. It's just looking at everything from a perspective of, am I getting closer to my big why, to my big goal, and what I really want for myself and my children. That's it.
You know, you said something very key in there, and I've had to do that. You know, there's times that it's interesting that you said that, because there's times where I've gone back and I'm like, oh, I've got to apologize to him. That I didn't handle that well. It's amazing to me as a parent where I start to look at, okay, am I waking my son up in the morning is a absolute challenge where I feel like I'm nagging every morning just to get him out of bed. Once he's up, he's fine, but that whole getting him out of bed, I'm like, I can't even, because he's my child, and I was the same way. I hated getting up in the morning. Once I was up, I was fine, but it wasn't my thing to actually motivate out of bed. But there has been mornings where I've screamed because I've had it, and I'm like, we've got to move on with our day. And it's amazing, because then I'll have to go back and say, you know what, I reacted really, really poorly. Like, I should not have screamed, and I got to a frustrating boiling point, and it's not okay. And I think that it's probably been my saving grace with my son, because of exactly what you say, because otherwise they, A, don't know we're human, and then they later call us hypocrites, and, you know, that was the worst thing. I think that's a really good thing, and that you are teaching, you know, your children, A, that parents make mistakes, and then you can come back together and still communicate and find a way to solve that. And and I think that, at least from my experience of watching, I don't know if all parents know how to do that, because it's I'm the parent. And yes, you are the parent, but I think there's got to be some, and you want to keep your children safe and do the best for them, but there's got to be some that they can see that, because otherwise you set them up for not being able to handle themselves in other environments.
Exactly. So it really all comes down, when I try to explain this, is that children are always making decisions about three things. They're always making decisions about themselves, about others, and about the world. But when you're talking, usually when I'm talking about young children, I always say that others really mean us, the parents, right? Because we are the ones that are with them all the time. And then the world is really their home, right? It's their world. And of course, as children grow, then others become peers and teachers and coaches, and then the world gets bigger, and now it's school and the home, right? But if children are always making decisions about themselves, they're always asking, am I good? Am I bad? Am I capable? Am I not capable? Am I, reliable or not? So they're always asking questions about themselves. And then they're always asking questions about others. So they're really asking, is my mom on my side or not? Is she reliable, her or not? Is my mom, consistent or not? They are always inquiring in their, of course, it's an unconscious thing that they're doing. And then they're always questioning the world. Is the world safe or not? Is my home a safe place or not? Can I be myself? Am I accepted or not? And so then based on those perceptions of themselves, of others, and of the world, they decide if they're going to survive or thrive. So we have all done this, and within the first few years, we actually create this makeup, this, wallpaper for our character, and it's based on those questions that we ask of ourselves. And then what I tell parents is that everything that we do or don't do or say or don't say is actually sending a message. So even if we do nothing, so the example that I usually give is that if a client or a friend sends you an email, but you don't reply, are you sending a message?
Right.
We are, right? Even if we don't say anything. So everything that we do or don't do and say or don't say sends our children a message. And then it starts with a little thing. So let's say the two-year-old puts on their shoes on by themselves, but then we say, oh, honey, it's on the wrong foot. What message are we sending to the child? Maybe that they're not good enough, that they did it wrong, that, they're little. And then they want to help make the bed, and we say, oh, no, that's okay. Those covers are too heavy. Or they make cookies, and we go and we fix the cookies that they made. So everything that we do or don't do is sending a message. And it's usually children are getting a lot of negative messages throughout the day. Every time that they do something bad and we say, oh, you're such a bad boy or a bad girl, we're sending that message, right? Every time that we help them too much, we do things for them that they can do for themselves, they're getting a message that they're not capable, that they need help, or that they're not meeting our expectations. Every time that we interact with them, we're sending a message. And they are getting a lot of messages that they are small, that they're little, inadequate, that they're not good enough. So it's usually when we start to see the misbehavior. So the surviving mode, when they decide to survive, is usually the misbehaving mode. And that's when they need to do something. They don't know what to do. So let's say they are feeling, so the mom is really busy, right? We're on the phone. Have you ever tried to have a phone call when your children are around?
And all of a sudden they know who you are. They haven't known all morning. But actually, and I'm so sorry, Lorena, this is a fantastic conversation, but we are almost at the end of our time together, and it went by so fast. Oh, my gosh.
It did.
I wanted to ask you, where can people find you? Because I think that you have a world of information for parents, and I can hear your passion about it. And I think that, you are a tremendous resource. So how can people find you?
They can find me on my website. It's called thepurposefulchild.com. So
that's great.
That would be the best place for them to find
best me. Best way. Yes. And you have a Facebook group too, right?
In a Facebook group, yeah.
And it's called The Purposeful Child.
The Purposeful Child, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would tell everybody to look you up. It has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show with me
today.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Thank you,
wonderful.
Thank you.
So great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And so next week we will have Susan Burns from who is an attorney, and she is going to talk about being an entrepreneur and how to protect yourself in business. So we're really, she has the Entrepreneurial Academy, and she does all helps with all the stuff to make sure that you're a secure entrepreneur in your own business. So I'm super excited to have her too. Thank you again, Lorraine. Everybody have a great day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.